Radio Free Alaska. Welcome to Radio Free Alaska, broadcasting the voice of freedom in an unfree world. Today is February 20th, 2023. Today we're going to be talking about distinguishing between freedom and liberty. These are important concepts, and we want to be able to understand them as we move forward in this world. Because when we talk about the necessity of freedom, let's begin with the question, is freedom necessary? It reads in Scripture, I tell you the truth, if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. But what does this freedom mean? And is it necessary for the human condition? Well, let's take a look at what it looks like without freedom. Now, we have a world that is currently being proposed by our leadership that is really quite inordinate to human expression. In fact, I can't think of anything in all of history that competes with the proposition that is now on the table from the Western powers. It is amazing to me that their psychosis has been given such expression in the modern world. Let us assume that the World Economic Forum and its leadership and the corporations which make up the body of that membership succeed in where they're going. What does the world look like? Well, first of all, we have to remember that fascism is a very interesting condition. Fascism is the marriage of the private corporations with the government. And the difference is that the private corporations control, not the governing authorities. This is what creates a fascist country. And fascism is generally given a political moniker that expresses the authority of Rome, predicated upon a joining of axe handles with axe heads into a bundle that they call fasces. And fascism is the condition of that bundling, the bundling of corporate interests into the authority of the state to create a fascist enterprise. The World Economic Forum is definitely an expression of fascism because it is not democratically elected people who are appearing at Davos, Switzerland, but rather corporate leaders and billionaires and other people who are willing to work the inside of a given nation to create powers and principalities and authorities. And what does their world look like at the end of the day? Well, let's take a look and see if we can envision that for a few minutes. First of all, they believe in a very small elite, very small, namely them. Those who are multi-billionaires and up are the group that will control. Anyone who is less than that will have no control, no say, no rights or privileges, but rather will be ruled over. Those who are not part of the elite will own nothing and be told they're happy. They will be subject to complete authoritarian control under a technocracy that will be managed by placing digital devices in every possible location to monitor and closely control your behavior, including cameras at every intersection, meters upon all of your appliances in your home, and even nanobots inside your body reporting on you or anything that you failed to report through your Fitbit or through your cell phone. With this information, they can make a determination as to whether or not you should be allowed to get on an airplane, whether you should be allowed to leave your city, whether you should be allowed to enter into another city or territory, whether you should be allowed to be employed, whether you should be allowed to access your bank account, whether you should be allowed to petition a healthcare provider to assist you if you happen to have a disease. With complete digital monitoring, they can determine whether or not you have engaged in any inordinate thinking, whether you worship some other god besides the fascist state, whether you engage in prayer, whether you read scripture. All of these things will be prohibited activities, and your life will consist of working 7 days a week from daylight to sundown, and you will be sleeping in a carefully controlled and monitored environment that is sufficient enough for you to sleep, enough room for you to get up and change your clothes, a communal bathroom you'll be able to use, and a place where you'll be able to eat. But you'll have no rights to travel. You'll have no rights to do anything else. You'll have no right to quit your job. You'll have no right to make an independent decision about anything, because you will be a controlled slave belonging 100% to a digital environment that carefully controls your every inhalation and exhalation to ensure that it is compliant with the complete overriding technocratic state. And in this environment, should the leadership determine that, for instance, the city of London has got too many people in it, they could simply look at the computer screen, determine those people who have an inordinately low social credit score, and terminate their lives. Somebody who's working 7 days a week, 12 to 14 hours a day, will come by in a truck and pick up your body. They may elect to eliminate an entire apartment building or an entire district of a city, or for that matter, an entire city, depending on what the population needs are and what the food availability is. One could readily imagine that if there were a shortage of a particular kind of food in a particular city, the technocracy may elect to eliminate all of the useless eaters there, rather than provide some means to supply them with an emergency ration. So this is what the world looks like. Now, as we get to here, one has to look and see what has happened since the publishing of the Alfred Kinsey Report in 1947 and 1948. Kinsey was a noted sex offender who routinely abused children, even infants. And he did this in order to create a report on human sexuality. And this report now has been given full credibility and full life. This golem has been built into the Western society now and is alive and well and is dominating the mind thought. In fact, Seattle just unleashed a new sculpture to go along with its man-boy sculpture, which, by the way, is a sculpture of a grown man naked, approaching a boy who's also naked in a fountain of waters. And the sculpture is so offensive that the city has placed 24 cameras to monitor the environs around the sculpture to make sure that it's not damaged. But to outdo this particular sculpture, they've now introduced a sculpture that shows a woman who has a baby crawling on the ground in front of her that has a leash around its collar around its neck and a leash attached to her hand, and a five-year-old child who's dressed up in bondage regalia. And this is what's on the streets in Seattle now. Of course, this should not be any surprise given the fact that the school district there is openly teaching the sexualization of children, even in daycare, kindergarten, first grade. And in fact, the federal government has funded a program now to require children to fill out in writing their transgendered plan, how they intend to become transgendered, when, where, how, and so on and so forth. And this is being imposed on school districts throughout the United States, a transgendered plan. And so when you ask yourself, is freedom necessary? Well, let's take a look at the world when freedom is eliminated. Now, one thing that we have not yet achieved, but we're soon going to achieve in the West, is going to be the random sacrifice of children in the town square by means of fire. When we ask ourselves the question, how far can the Kinsey Report take us? And the end of the road, the end of the slippery slope, if you will, after you've slid all the way down the hill, which is where we are now at the base of the hill, the end of that slope is the sacrificing of children. And essentially the way it works is people controlling a city, like maybe Oxford in Britain, will determine that in order to control the people who are rebelling against the idea that you have to register to leave your house, you have to register to leave your town, you have to register to enter into another district, you have to register to use your car, they would, in order to terrify the people into compliance, they introduce a program that is the random selection of children. We're going to select one child every weekend from some family, and that child is going to be pulled out by the police, taken downtown, and sacrificed in a burning ritual in the public square. Now, this is not the first time that this has ever happened. You see history of it in scripture, talking about passing children through the fire to Molech. This was a human sacrifice of putting children in the fire. And this was done in order to enshrine the power of the king who would rule over his people by total fear. And the best way to engender complete fear is to randomly select people's children for slaughter and sacrifice by fire in the town square. So this is really the last step we have for Western society, which is completely moralist, is completely without ethics, completely without standards, and who believes that everything is a go now. And we have willing participants. We have teachers that are willing to require children to fill out their little transgendered program in first and second grade. You have teachers that are willing to take kindergartners to explicit transgender drag shows at the library, where the teacher is openly showing his genitalia to 4 and 5 year olds. You have teachers that are willing to teach these things all the way through elementary school. You have grandparents who are willing to put their grandson in a dress and require that the parents respect the transgendered expression of a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old or a 7-year-old or a 9-year-old. And all of these things are going on, and the people participating in them have no sense of decency or shame and have no sense of right or wrong because they have been blinded by a radical deception. And the deception by which they are blinded is one that is anathema to the freedom that has been given to us by the Messiah. So when we talk about freedom, First of all, let's take a look at what is liberty, okay? Liberty is state of being free within society from oppressive restrictions imposed by the authority on one's way of life, behavior, or political views. The power or scope to act as one pleases. Well, liberty is something a little bit different than freedom, because freedom is the condition or right of being able or allowed to do, say, or think whatever you want without being controlled or limited. But the truth is that when you talk about freedom, it's not about being allowed to do something. You have the intrinsic right to be free. And let me show you what I mean by that. There are certain things that are axiomatic to human life. To give you an example, if you're a human being, you have a right to seek food and shelter daily. You have a right to seek the means of survival. You have a right to defend yourself from predators. You have the right to travel in order to sustain your existence. That is to say, if you're in a desert, you have the right to walk away from that desert to get to a place where you can plant and garden. You have the right to seek out and pursue what you do to achieve your survival. This is what it means to be a human being. Now, in our common law case law, we see quite often the court recognizing that these rights are fundamental. And in fact, there is lip service given this in the Declaration of Independence. These rights, among others, among the rights of on the earth, we hold these rights to be inalienable. Well, when we talk about life, liberty, and property, what are the liberty interests of a person? And the courts have recognized that it is a liberty interest to be able to freely travel. It is a liberty interest to be able to marry and have a family. It is a liberty interest to be able to parent in a family. It is a liberty interest to be able to work, to make a living. These are fundamental liberty interests that cannot be taken away. However, that doesn't stop governments from trying to regulate and to take portions of those liberty interests away. You have a right to travel, granted, but you don't have a right to travel on an unlimited basis. You only have a right to travel in accordance with the means we tell you. And who are you to tell me that? Oh, we're the people who got together and claimed that we have authority over you. How did you do this? Right? 1 Samuel 8, you ask for a king and here we are. And so we see these kinds of liberty interests being reduced. And so though you might have a right to travel, now it's no longer a right, but rather a licensed privilege. You might have a right to marry, but now that's no longer a right to marry, but rather a licensed privilege. You may have the right to a livelihood, but that right is no longer a fundamental right, but rather a licensed privilege. You see? And so the state, the techno-fascist state in particular, has made unlawful fundamental, self-evident, and axiomatic human rights of liberty in order to thereafter license it to assert the state as a controlling entity. This is a direct limit on the fundamental aspects of freedom that is requisite to human existence. Now, when these freedoms are taken away, and of course, the most fundamental freedom is the freedom to love the singularity of Yahweh. When Yah says, I am Yahweh, your Elohim, there shall be no others before me. This is a fundamental liberty interest, a right of freedom to assert Yahweh over all other things in existence, all other Elohim. Now, you might ask yourself the question, well, there's no other Elohim in America, is there? Well, yes, of course there is. The great demon that is occupying us right now is the demon called democracy. Now, democracy is a different kind of demon, but this is a demon that holds a right of veto. So when Yahweh says, I am Yahweh, your Elohim, you shall have no other Elohim before me, democracy says, let's take a vote on that and see if that's what we want. If Yahweh says, thou shalt not steal, democracy says, let's take a vote on that. Well, we voted on it and we agreed we can steal. We can steal all the gold from Libya. We can steal all the oil from Syria. We can steal all the oil from Iraq. We can steal these things because we voted on it, because our God, democracy, gave us permission. Well, what about the God that is governing the sexualization of children? Which God is that? Well, this is a God in the Greek known as Asmodeus, and in the Hebrew as Ashemdai, the God of lust. And so you see the God of lust coming out and say, oh, well, freedom means sexual license to do what thou wilt. But is this freedom? This is not freedom. Freedom comes from the discipline of Scripture, because once you become attached to sin, and sin can only be found in its description in the Torah. But once you become attached to sin, you are a slave to that sin. Now, you can tell whether or not a sin is a sin by whether or not you're a slave to it. If you're engaged in sexual behavior that includes the loving relationship between a man and a woman in a long-term marriage, is that a slavery to sin? The answer is no. This is partly what Yah has created between men and women. They should be united as one flesh. And so this is not a sin, but rather a beautiful thing between man and wife. But when you engage in inordinate behavior to that, then you are engaged in sin. And if you're engaged in sin, you know, because you become enslaved to it. Now, when you talk about people who want to define themselves by their sexual expression, instead of defining themselves by their commitment to Yahweh, for instance, who were you? Some people will say, well, I am Yasharel. Who are you? I am Netzarim. Who are you? I am of the way. Who are you? Well, I'm a Messianic. Who are you? Well, I'm a Pentecostal. Who are you? Well, I'm this, I'm that. But when you're defining yourself by your sexual expression, you're defining yourself by the ropes that bind you. That's how you're defining yourself, by the ropes that bind you. Are you a free person when you're trapped into a sexual predilection that is inordinate? You're not. You're an unfree person. You do not have the essential freedom that is given to you by the Son of Man, who says, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. So when we talk about the necessity of freedom, is it necessary for you to eat? Yes. Is it necessary for you to have shelter? Yes. You weren't born with fur on your back and instincts that allow you to live in the wilderness? No. You were born, rather, with just skin. And if you looked at the mere carnality of mankind with no intellect, we could be killed by even rats or birds. The thing that keeps us alive is our intellect. And our intellect, therefore, must have the freedom to excel. And so when we're talking about intellectual freedom is absolutely requisite in the human condition, because mind must be able to consider between right and wrong, correct and incorrect, accurate and inaccurate, logical, illogical, rational, irrational, true, false. And these things are skills that are not just regularly attained, but are skills that require an intense set of practices that will bring the mind to a level of discernment wherein we can see the validity of these propositions. And so, as a consequence, intellectual freedom is the most important freedom of all the freedoms. Intellectual freedom is challenged in a free speech environment. We call this environment the marketplace of ideas. The marketplace of ideas. If the marketplace of ideas has been closed down because some particular person has a psychotic disposition of emotional repression that requires them to become a person of authority and power over others because there's something radically missing in their own life, and that person is willing to do things like shut down the marketplace of ideas and limit speech, when you do that, then you lose the creative capacity of the social order. And once speech is closed, then the intellect is closed. And once the intellect is closed, the creative capacity of the mind is closed. When the creative capacity of the mind is closed, you begin to eat the flesh of your own arm rather than stretching out and doing things that are going to create and bring life on the earth. Instead, you begin to eat the storehouse. Instead, you begin to live off your credit card. Instead, you're not doing things that are necessary to bring life, like plant a garden. You're eating last year's crop over and over and over again. And this is where we are in the Western world. We have shut down free expression. We have shut down critical thinking. We've shut down creativity. We've shut down the creative mind. We've shut down the marketplace of ideas because we will no longer tolerate intellectual freedom. We will no longer tolerate intellectual freedom. You know, when I was a young man, we used to quote Daniel Webster, who said, or maybe it was Noah Webster, who said, "I may disagree with every word that comes out of your mouth, but I will fight to the death for your right to say it." Why? Because free speech is critical. And who can handle it now? When somebody comes up on in the marketplace of ideas and says, "I think this is the way we should go." When I was a young man, somebody would say, "Well, you're absolutely out of your tree. And everything you say is wrong and it's destined for complete failure." Okay, explain. "You can speak your own mind, but not on my time," said Billy Joel. The idea is to be able to speak and to be able to consider ideas in the public square. Now, this is kind of what goes on in the various fellowships we see around the country, and messianic fellowships and so on, these so-called midrashes, where we attempt an intellectual understanding. However, it's very important to, in these circumstances, stay on point and not to introduce elements of coercion or force into the market. And when I'm talking about elements of coercion, I'm talking about fraud by commission, fraud by omission, or elements of force, where you force your way in. What does scripture say? Many are forcing their way into heaven by violence. And this is not accurate at all. So when we talk about intellectual freedom in the free marketplace, are free to consider ideas, but we have a responsibility in the consideration of those ideas to stay on point and discuss the idea, not to start talking about whether or not somebody's hemorrhoids are inflamed, but stay on point and discuss the idea that is at the topic of at hand. This is the only possible way that the society will continue to progress. Without that focus and intellectual sincerity, things will crash into a display of randomness and self-centeredness that will lead to deception. And there's none of us that seek to be brought over to a great delusion at this time. We have the necessity of pursuing freedom in an unfree world. Let us be about the Father's business in going after this marker to be able to tell the young people in Asbury, Kentucky, the people in Santa Monica who are at the pier, and the people who seek to rise up out of the filth and the slime and the goo that is Western society, and to enter into the kingdom of Yahweh and its beauty and expression and life. And let us assert to them the voice of freedom in an unfree world.